Episode 302, May 29th, 2017.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
This is the Rob and Joe Show.
The Dave Chappelle and Louis C.K. of Fire Hall Comedy.
The Rob and Joe Show.
This is the racist Rob and racist Joe Show.
Some of their best friends are black.
The Rob and Joe Show, my two favorite guys.
You're listening to the Rob and Joe Show.
Come on, everybody, let's get to the brainstorming.
I worked with Rob and Joe before, and they do an amazing job.
Go back on that Rob and Joe Show.
The Rob and Joe Show.
Now on with the countdown.
With a combined 73 firings, if you count marriages in the Baltimore Comedy Factory, here's Rob Mayer and Joe Robinson.
So I get an email from WePay.com. I don't even know what that is.
WePay? Like, yeah. WePay, okay.
Yeah, and it says, it has come to our attention that you have funds in WePay that were collected through GoFundMe for California Dreaming. The total balance is $4.31. These funds have been dormant in our system for quite some time. So please withdraw them within 2 weeks. You remember that, what that's from, California Dreaming?
Yeah, that's to send Chris Restivo to California to pursue his dream of stand-up comedy. Is $4 in it?
$4.31.
Not our money. I wouldn't make the work. I wouldn't make the effort. I mean, I would. If Chris wants it, he can get it himself.
Well, I mean, it's funnier, though, if I take it out and then I use that, you know, for a scratch-off or lottery ticket or something, and we could, that money could turn into something real. I mean, that's the funniest thing.
But it's not our money, so if that scratch off yields any, you know, dividends, we should give it right to Restivo to get himself to California.
Well, is it Restivo's money, or is it belong to the people who donated?
I don't know. Maybe that's a poll question for our audience. Is the GoFundMe money to send Chris Restivo to California, the $4, is it ours or is it Chris Restivo's?
Because, you know, Restivo had nothing to do with this. I mean, we did this. I believe he's the least of all the people that should get this money. He's the last one.
Yeah.
He did nothing to deserve it.
No, but deserves got nothing to do with it.
He
earmarked it for him. So it exists. It's his.
Well, maybe he'll use that money and he'll start hitchhiking to California, do those tennis ball impressions. You know, I mean, he's got a good Trump. His Trump was better than his Obama. So maybe things are looking up for good old Chris Restivo.
Just welcome. If the next president is Robert De Niro, he's in business.
Or it could be Gilbert Godfrey. That would be good. Or Tracy Morgan. Oh, man. Things are looking up for Restivo. $4.31 and Trump. Life is good. Welcome to the show. You know, the big bombshell last week was that we believe that we had identified Eric the actor as a friend of mine. One Mike Klein that died tragically some 15 months ago. And we are pretty much 99% sure that that is the case. So rest in peace, Mike Klein. Rest in peace, Eric the actor. A veteran. He was in the military. So on this Memorial Day, we thank you for your service to our country and, most importantly, to the Rob and Joe Show.
We need to talk to his brother, comedian Andy Klein, great comedian Andy Klein.
Yeah.
And find out whether or not maybe he wasn't as big a Rob fan as you thought, because this guy would take you out. I mean, he would take some shots at me here and there, but not like he would take at you. I mean, he would come hard. He wouldn't just make fun of you. He'd go to your weakest point and he'd try to take you out at your knees.
He would. Now, he would do that with Andy, you know, to an extent, because, you know, when you know, Andy Klein came into my life, and everyone that back in the day, we all started comedy at Wiseacres Comedy Club in McLean, Virginia. And Andy was the rock. He was the one who, you know, very even keel. He most savvy in terms of the business, knew more about the business, by far still the best joke writer. But he definitely was the guy we all looked to. He was the most responsible for the crew. You know, I was drinking, Chad was doing drugs, Mike Payne was, you know, low self-esteem, hating himself after every bad set. The women were up and down, you know, like women can be, and you know, emotional over a bad set. And Andy was just the rock. So, you know, we'd all make fun of each other, but there's nothing really to make fun of Andy about. But then when we'd go around, when we met Mike would fuck with Andy. And we'd never seen anyone do that. And then so we were all like, this is amazing. Because he, you know, obviously they grew up together. He had insight. He knew how to push his buttons. And so that was always entertaining for us. And I think maybe he took that role on with me in terms of knowing how to push my buttons. And Captain Cupcake, who, you know, through chat, they were always together and seemed to be on the same side and everything. Captain Cupcake posted a picture of Mike on Twitter today. And I think I know who Captain Cupcake might be. He might be another friend of Andy and Mike's, this guy named Mark.
Yeah, I don't have a picture of Andy Klein's brother. You have to know him in order to have that picture, right?
Yeah, I mean, I guess he could have. Maybe he went on Facebook or something and found that. I mean, he could have done some investigation.
Well, what's Mark's last name?
I believe it's Han. I think it's H-A-H-N. I could be. Han? I might be incorrect in that spelling. I haven't seen him in years, and you know I can see him taking joy in fucking with me as well. Well, you know what?
He's always in chat, Captain Cupcake. If we got who you are, dude, you got to come clean. We know who you are, first and last name. If that's who you are, then let's just get confirmation.
Yeah, that my only reasoning is that I don't have it's my educated guess. I'm not super confident that that's who it is, but if I had to guess someone.
Speaking of Andy Klein, Robbie sent my old radio partner, Theo, say, hey, Eric, we miss you. Just put a smiley face. I think that's consent, if I'm not mistaken. Either way, it doesn't matter who you are, Captain Cupcake. You're the best. But Theo, my old radio partner, was, I guess, submitted for a morning radio position in Chicago. Now, we don't know which station yet, but Chicago, that's market 3 in the United States.
Pretty good.
It's one of the biggest markets in the world. If you're doing morning radio in Chicago, that's a great gig. So Theo asked Robbie to give him some clips from the old Irresponsible Radio show, and Robbie sent him a clip of a game that we played that Andy Klein hosted. So Robbie sent them the clip. Andy Klein is the host of it. Robbie wrote the game. We call listeners and we ask him these questions. He got the job.
Based on the work of Andy.
Yes.
Yeah, and you. I mean, you were part of it. And Justin inspired this bit. So good for Theo. How have we never had him on?
Yeah, I know he's done some work for us, like some production work for us. But yeah, I guess he hasn't been on. We do need to have him on.
We do, and we need to have Andy Klein on. I wanted to have Andy Klein on anyways because he has a new CD out, his first CD he's actually ever done, and I'd love to play some clips and give him some publicity for it. It's very funny. You should definitely buy it. It's actually on the cover of it is Andy and his brother Mike, Eric the actor, as children. It's called Vintage. K-L-I-N-E, if you want to look that up. It's very funny, so I want to definitely play some clips of that. But I'd like to get Andy on, and we can talk about, you know, because, you know, when I asked Andy about this, he didn't know. I mean, but it's very possible that this was just something Mike was doing on his own. Not possible. It seems like that's definitely was the case. So rest in peace, Eric, the actor. Happy Memorial Day. Some people get mad when you say happy because it's really not a day to celebrate, right? I mean, it's not a happy day. But you know what I'm trying to say.
Well, what else would you say?
I don't know. Good. I don't know. Happy remembrance. I don't know. Whatever. But we hung out today, Joe. We went over to a bar in Annapolis, and it was an interesting combination of people.
Well, first of all, we watched the Maryland Terrapins win their first lacrosse national championship since 1975. So
congratulations.
Yes, that was exciting. Sorry, go ahead.
But there was, you know, obviously you, me, Katie, the regulars, and Tim, former show announcer Tim, who loves to fuck with you, Joe, and then who now we're realizing is the person in the world who's second most likely to fuck with you, Katie's dad. So Katie's dad and Tim met, hit it off, and I believe will now be plotting ways to screw with you. They joined forces, which is bad news for you, Joe Robinson.
This is what this was an actual exchange between those two. Tim's yelling at me. He goes, yeah, this guy's a fucking dick. He points at me, and Katie's dad goes, that's what I've been telling people. So that's an actual exchange between those two.
Katie's dad made a point about three times to say how much funnier he thinks I am than you. Unsolicited, just wanted to say that, which I gladly accept that. Thank you. But I'm glad that they hit it off because
they exchanged phone numbers so they can talk about me if they ever need to do that.
He sit around bitching about you, just texting back and forth.
I do. He's so funny. For some reason, I can't. Just every time he starts shitting on me, it's not one of these things where I get defensive. It brings me such joy. I was actually excited about him and Tim because I knew how that was going to be. I knew how that was going to go. But just to give you an example of how this is Katie's dad. Katie's mom went to KEO, the school in The Keepers. Now, if you haven't seen The Keepers yet, it's a documentary that takes place in Baltimore, and it's about a nun who was killed, and you find out that there's a lot more to this story, including serial rape of underage children.
It's a six-part Netflix series. Just came out. I haven't seen it yet, but everyone says it's incredible and powerful and horrific.
So we were like, now Katie's mom has a very good fond memories of this school. So Katie's like, you probably shouldn't watch this. This isn't really, you know what I mean? You don't want it to skew your, you don't want that to your psyche to be changed by whatever this, you know, like, oh my God, this could have happened to me. So just, you know, leave it alone. Well, she decides to watch it anyway and finds out. And if you watch it, the gynecologist that this priest takes these girls to was Katie's mom's gynecologist, okay? So the way we find out is Katie's dad calls us and goes, hey, guess what? We're like, what? He goes, the gynecologist from The Keepers, that was mommy's. He calls her mommy. Mommy's gynecologist. He starts laughing. I'm like, oh, he is going to love Tim. Very similar sense of humor.
How do you think he would feel if Tim started dating Katie?
See, he thinks that he thinks he might have a feel better about that, but I promise you, he would feel worse, much, much worse.
When serious Tim comes out, yeah, you don't want any part of that. There's very, very rarely does serious Joe come out. He's spared of that.
Robbie wrote in chat, can I get in that club with Tim and Katie's dad? Do you also want to? Matter of fact, Katie's dad liked Robbie when Robbie showed up wearing the NRA hat.
Yeah,
and he had his shirt on that said, "I fingered the killer." There was something else we're missing. It was wearing like dress pants, something else. I don't know.
I was wearing swim trunks.
Swim trunks. Right. He's like, I like that guy. I like that guy, Robbie.
Yeah, it is weird that, you know, usually you're the guy that people like. You're fun, but yet he prefers Tim and Robbie.
Give it time.
Yeah. But still, Tim and Robbie, they're not good first impression people. I mean, if that was your first time meeting Robbie.
That's not true about Tim. People love Tim when they first meet him.
Unless he's bringing Fireball. Yeah. Tiger Woods, you probably have seen the mugshot by now. He got a DUI, and he looks particularly out of it and sad. In the mugshot. I mean, you're not supposed to look good, but you know, he wasn't that long ago where this guy was the, premier athlete in the world.
He was in the short list with maybe two, like Kobe maybe at the time, but yeah, very, very short list of greatest athletes, star athletes in the world.
And you could make a case that no one has ever had a more dominant stretch in his own sport, in he or his her own sport, than he did in golf for about a 10-year period.
In a major sport, yeah. I mean, clearly, I mean, I'm sure that there's some, you know, I know Maryland women's field hockey won the national championship X number of straight years, but I'm not going to count that.
Usain Bolt, you know, I mean, Wayne Gretzky was dominant. But I mean, Tiger Woods, I mean, you know, you can say Jack Nicklaus is maybe still the best golfer of all time, but no one at his best was as good as Tiger Woods.
No.
And so it sort of begs the question now. Now, injuries, obviously, we all know that he had multiple affairs and it was sort of, going through some emotional stuff and the wife left him and then he's had back injuries. But he hasn't really been good in golf for a while. So he went from basically great, unstoppable to average to a non-factor.
Yeah, he can't even make the cut anymore. He used to be in the conversation of being the best ever at his sport, and it was almost just a matter of time for him. And there have been people that have kind of jumped up and had great moments, but I mean, Tiger Woods, I mean, he was at that level for, you know, a decade.
Yeah, I mean, so in terms of a fall from grace, just athletically, I think he's the number one. If you go from great to a non-factor in that short amount of time. But in terms of just in general, a fall from grace, we were debating this today, the Mount Rushmore of falls from grace. The one that's going on right now that's the most current one is Bill Cosby. O.J. Simpson is definitely going to be probably on that list. You're looking at maybe Joe Paterno, revered coach, and now you find out he's protecting a child rapist for 30 years.
You know, one thing that, you know, I mean, what about Michael Jackson? I guess but when he died, he still had fans. You know what I mean? Like, there are no Jerry Sandusky fans out there. You follow what I'm saying?
Right. Well, if he had gotten, if all that, those charges had stuck and it became pretty clear that, you know, he was a pedophile, then he would have been number one. Because, I mean, that's the thing that it's the most disturbing and gross and sick thing you know anyone can do. So, and that's why you have Paterno, or they're protecting him. But, you know, Tiger's the fall from grace, but he hasn't really done anything. He hasn't really hurt anybody other than his wife and his children.
When you think about, I mean, O.J. Simpson, I think, is bigger than Tiger Woods. Not because he was a bigger athlete, but remember, he was one of the biggest athletes in the world. He was the first athlete, a first running back ever to run for 2,000 yards in a season. Of course, that was when they only played 14 games. He was in those Hertz commercials, so he was beloved.
Yeah.
He was then in the Naked Gun movies. I mean, people just loved him. I remember when I found out, oh my God, this is going on, I was like, dear Lord, please don't let this be true. Like, I didn't want him to be guilty of this, you know, more so than, you know, a lot of people that get suspected of things. Yeah. So, and the thing about Tiger Woods is that he was basically discovered doing something that every NBA player is doing. You follow? So
almost every professional athlete, we're being honest.
What about Mike Tyson? He wasn't accused of rape. He went to jail for raping someone. He's a convicted rapist.
Yeah. Well, that's another thing. I mean, there's two parts to this question. I mean, Tyson went from undefeated champ to losing to Buster Douglas to going to prison for rape. So he had a fall from grace in terms of...
But he also had some redemption where he's beloved again. He had the Broadway show or the one-man show, whatever it is. He was in The Hangover. You know, yeah. So the fact that he's redeemed himself and he's now beloved, you really can't count him anymore. And a lot of people think that rape charge is suspect. I'm not saying it is or isn't, but there's definitely some people that are saying, well, I'm okay with how this went down.
And Mike Tyson is getting prepared to start doing the morning talk shows this week, because I believe he's got a new book or something's coming out, so that he's doing a promotion tour this week.
You got to be careful when Mike Tyson does a talk show, because sometimes you ask the wrong question. I mean, he gets surly.
And he also, I mean, I think it was pretty common that he was beating up Robin Givens. So, I mean, he was beating his wife. So, it is sort of interesting. I mean, that's not the word, that he now is a darling because he was funny on The Hangover. But whatever. But I think the biggest falls from grace are Bill Cosby and O.J. Simpson.
Yeah, hard to argue based on what they... Because here's the thing. Obviously, Jared from Subway is a pretty big fall from grace, but his star wasn't anywhere near as bright as the other people. So, you know, what you are accused of matters. So obviously, and this is going to sound odd, but in terms of the way that, even like in prison, if you killed somebody, nobody cares. But if you banged kids, then you're going to be wearing a mop wig and ketchup lipstick and hanging onto a belt loop. That's
right,
what happened.
Right. I mean, Bill Clinton could have had a huge fall from grace, but he appeared to have recovered from the Lewinsky thing.
What do you mean? He's stronger than ever.
Well, yeah, but I mean, it appeared that like that could have gone that way, but somehow he made, now nobody cares anymore. I mean, I guess Donald Trump had a rise, and now he's probably gonna have a big fall.
He probably will, but right now it's hard to say that considering he is the current president of the United States. But we've had Lance Armstrong.
That's right, Lance Armstrong.
And the thing about Lance Armstrong isn't necessarily what he did, because he did something that, you know, zillions of people have done. And that's take, HGH or steroids or whatever it did to enhance his performance. But he also, you know, it's almost like when Rafael Palmeiro, much lower scale, went in front of Congress and was like so vehement, I've never, you know.
Right.
He denied, and a lot of people kind of hung their hope on him. You know, he had to live strong and the cancer and all this stuff. And, you know, people always want to excuse it because he raised so much money for this charity. But at the end of the day, you know, I mean, he is somebody who was viewed one way. And now, I mean, it's 180 from where he was. And again, he might not have been the level of Tiger Woods, but he was a person that was admired by, you know, 95% of the country.
He was the face of fighting cancer.
Yeah.
You know, which is a pretty big fight. What about our own fall from grace? In the fantasy bachelor world, when we found out that Robbie Robinson was a cheater, I mean, that was a huge drop from revered, you know, expert to scam artist.
So
Robbie Robinson.
Let me say this. Now, do we have time? Should we take a break before this?
Yeah, let's take a break. We'll catch you up on has there been more cheating in our bachelorette fantasy football league? Rob and Joe should be right back.
Die Laughing Productions is back with another hilarious whodunit murder mystery comedy show from the people who brought you A Merry Murder Mystery and the newly dead game Comes Back to the 80s. You're attending an event at Glenbrook North High in Chicago, Illinois, where the students, faculty, and alumni are gathering to open a time capsule that was planted exactly 30 years ago. But a still unsolved murder case will transport you back when gas was under a dollar a gallon and cell phones were the size of a brick. Ferris Bueller, Marty McFly, and all things 80s murder mystery mashed up with me, Justin from 98 Rock, and the audience, you're going to be the star. Some of you will get to play parts in the show, and all of you will guess who the murderer is. Guess right, you could win something bitchin'. Guess wrong, and you'll be a butthead. Jean jackets and leg warmers are encouraged. Eat, drink, laugh, and solve a murder. Back to the 80s.
Next performance, June 21st at the DC Improv. Tickets are on sale right now. For upcoming show dates and more info, please visit DieLaughingProductions.com.
Now, back to the Rob and Joe Show.
I did some math. Actually, I didn't. If I'm being honest, that's a shout out to former landlord Phil, who has got two perfects on his SATs, and he figured out.
I knew that was Phil's contribution.
The probability of this occurring. Now, I already know Robbie's argument is going to be that these aren't, if there's four choices, it's not 25, 25, 25, and 25, that Robbie's knowledge of the show gives him an advantage over everything having equal weight. And that, I'm not saying that is, there's not some truth to that, but let me give you an example of this week. Here's a question. Which of the following is written on one of the date cards this week? The sky's the limit. Who let the dogs out? Let's make this a slam dunk. I'm looking for my best friend. There is absolutely no way that you can know what is it basketball themed? Is there a dog? Because she has a dog. The sky's the limit. You're looking for my best friend. That's a wonderful thing to say. There really is no way for you to know, unless you have some other knowledge about what's going to happen in this show, to be able to guess that. That is literally a one in four.
No, because they do show highlights of the upcoming season, and you might have seen a scene of them skydiving or playing basketball or something that could have happened.
Okay.
And that, I mean, I think, but go ahead. Just what was the math if you just took it as a one out of four six times or whatever.
If you just to get one wrong, it's one in 370 to get one wrong. That's what it is. Now, two people got one wrong. I'm not accusing your girlfriend of cheating, Rob. You can form your own conclusion.
She doesn't know how to cheat. She couldn't find these websites.
So Jawan is the one who's tied with me?
Yes.
So she got the same exact one wrong. I got wrong.
Well,
suspicious.
I already figured it out. It's 31 in one, but to get two back to back, I gave you guys the math. You know, it's what was it? 1,000 to 1, basically, in order to get them back to back. What's ever 31 times 31 is, and Robbie's done it back to back years or back to back seasons. It's just not possible. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, because the one is just who's going to get the first rose, basically, out of 30.
Yeah, I mean, you have no knowledge of these people. You know nothing. Yeah, maybe you know a little bit, but you don't know her likes and dislikes. I mean, it's to just nail it 2 years in a row, it is almost impossible.
Yes.
But for two people to get one wrong, one in 135,000. That's the math. One in 135,000 is what it is. And I can't wait to see how we do this week. I'm guessing it's going to be somewhere in the neighborhood of one again. That's my guess. But there's
you haven't told everybody that you and Katie are both beating everyone.
That's right. Katie and I both got perfect scores. Wow, we're really doing a good job, Katie and I. We're really killing it.
Yeah, I'm sure you're not cheating.
Did you make your guesses already this week, Joe?
Why, are you going to look at them?
I can't. You can't look at other people's guesses until they're locked in.
I have made my guesses, and I love my chances this week. Yes, now,
I've made mine as well. I'm in last place.
There's also you're an idiot.
Yeah.
So here's another one, and it says, let's see here, which bachelor receives the first one-on-one date of the season? And of course, how many people are left? 28. 20. Whatever?
Yeah. No, 22. I think.
Something. A big number.
So right now, I'm dead serious, Rob. It's a 1 in 22 chance. I'm not saying that there isn't. It's not exactly 1 in 22, but it ain't. It's at least 10 to 1 to get this right.
It is 10 to 1, yeah.
It is 10 to 1.
Some of these guys are idiots. You can already tell. And you can tell who she's sort of.
So this is a 10 to 1 bet. Robbie, are your picks already in?
They're already locked in.
Don't change it. I'll bet you right now Robbie gets it right. Rob, would you like to? I'll give you 50-50 on a 10-to-1. I'll give you even money, and I'll take Robbie, and you get the other side of the 10-to-1 bet.
Okay, I think that he gets it wrong.
Okay, Robbie? You can't change it.
I'm not touching it. I think I got four more minutes anyway. So, do you have your final four locked in? I think they lock in tonight.
No, you have a couple
weeks. Let me guess. So. Did you change your final four, Robbie?
I changed one guy because.
Of course you did. Of course you did. And there it is. Of course you changed it.
Based on the fact that one of the guys I had is clearly has a girlfriend in regular life. So,
okay.
You know,
but I'll bet you just happened to nail. Can you tell me who you put in? Do you mind telling me who you added? Can I have that information?
I don't want to know. By the way, it's not clear. They have an update or they have a, this is what happens in the next week or whatever. And they tease that happens to someone, but they don't show the face of the guilty party.
Oh, y'all also like to make a bet, Rob.
When she consulted with the other bachelorettes.
Yeah.
They mentioned his name. That's why I took him out.
How about that's the person that was removed? Rob, would you like to make another 50-50 bet that the person Robbie added will be one of the last four? Would you like to bet that?
I bet that.
Here's what I'm saying is the math. It can't. It just is not possible. It's not possible. So I don't want to come on here every week and call Robbie a cheater, but I would like for him to come clean. I would. Last year, we found out that he did have some inside knowledge. We got into a big argument about it. Even Dad in chat was like, don't blame Robbie. He would never have cheated. Of course, it ends up that he did. But, you know, I mean, this story just, it doesn't add up. It doesn't. If you were to go in and with DNA evidence, it's the same probability as you and Tawanda being able to both get one wrong.
I mean, it sounds like Captain Cupcake has come clean, so why don't you come clean, Robbie?
I don't remember who I replaced him with, but it was Demarius who I took out. If you go back and listen last week, I said my four picks.
Okay, but you did add somebody now. Somebody was added.
Yes, but I don't remember which one was added. I know my final pick is Brian, but he's the only one I'm sure of because he was always my final pick. I haven't changed that.
He's always my final pick. How would you know that?
You don't know who you added, Robbie?
I don't remember which one. I'll tell you the other three guys.
Okay.
Dean, Peter, and Eric. I'm pretty sure Eric was in my final four before, so it's either Dean or Peter.
Dean or Peter, you
added. Spoiler alert, if you guys are listening, spoiler alert.
Yes. Well, let me just say that the four people that Robbie just mentioned are also my final four. Just like you said that.
Spoiler, if you're watching The Bachelorette, don't want to know what happens.
Do you hear what I'm saying to you, Rob?
Yeah, you're ruining this for me, though. You're ruining my experience of watching one of the best shows on television.
No, Robbie's ruining it. I will not take responsibility for this. I won't.
No, I'm blaming you, Joe. I expected this out of Robbie, but you need to tell me this. Now, how am I going to replace this great quality show?
What a great subtraction there with Demarius. That's good job, Robbie.
Well, I have DeMario as my first date tonight. So God. I hope he steps up. Okay.
Can I just do the math? You guys mind? Yeah. Let me just do the math here. If you don't, I'm going to give me a second here. I just want to make sure that people understand, because I know my father, he might be on an island, but I think he thinks that, you know, he gets very defensive for Robbie.
He thinks that Robbie can do no wrong.
Here we go. All right.
Gramps will never see the light on Robbie.
This is a really important thing to take note of. The chances of getting either zero or one correct. This is the chances of just getting one right or zero is 52%. Meaning if this were real, you would get only one or zero half the time.
Of your final four picking originally, is what you're saying.
No. Of the questions that were done the first week.
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying.
The chances of getting none right or one right is more than half. It's better than a coin flip. So then the chances of getting all six right is this is all six right, 0.00063 or 1 in 16,000. That's the chance of me getting everyone correct. Okay? I'm really good. Chances of getting 5 of 6 right is 0.27, 1 in 370. And by the way, Robbie has my same final four now, just letting you know that. The chances of both Robbie and Tawanda getting 5 out of 6 right is 0.0027 times 0.0027 or 0.000073%, 1 in 135,000. Man, they are good. That's from Phil.
Look, I'm telling you, Robbie is a savant and Tawanda is a black woman who's dated men from all races. So they have an inside advantage. They're going to be the best at this. So they should.
Okay. What are the odds that she and I got the exact same one wrong?
I won one in six. But
what are the odds that people have stopped listening to our show now?
No, everybody has the same outrage. Everybody calls shenanigans. Everybody calls shenanigans except for Gramps. Gramps is like, what do you mean? It happens one in what every 135,000 times. It's got to happen. Were there more than 135,000 Bachelorette fantasy questions answered? Yes. Okay. So that's had to happen. And we just happen to have two of them.
Moving on. The bonus show is out. We have another bonus show. Check it out. Patreon.com/RobinJoeShow. It is excellent. And you teased something. Not teased, but you sort of warned us that something might be happening with you.
Yeah, I think we can actually. Jobs. You should listen to the bonus show, and I want the people who subscribe to the bonus show. You know, they should get content that other people don't get. But there was a ton of it this past week, so I'll go ahead and say that I was getting a strange vibe from the program director on 98 Rock. I've been on the morning show a bunch of times because Scott Reardon has been out. And I'm actually on tomorrow. I don't know when this is going to air, but Tuesday morning I'll be on. But every time he came into the studio, I could tell he was like, hey, Joe, like I wouldn't get much from him. Right. And it felt I've gotten similar vibes. I've read body language and so forth. I get the social cues and I could tell there was something going on there. And I thought it was related to the postgame show. I'm like, huh, I wonder if he has different plans for the postgame show. And I even discussed that on the bonus show. It ends up I was right. I've been fired from the postgame show, the Ravens postgame show. And
I want to back up because you called me. Can we really dig deep into this?
Sure.
You a few days ago, you said, hey, Rick just, you know, he called me or texted me or emailed, whatever. He said he wants to talk about the post game. So you called me excited in that, you know, you were ready to pitch some ideas and take it to the next level. And then you had some wrinkles, some other things you wanted to throw at him. You thought you had some leverage. And then,
well, let me read it and tell me if you would have taken this the same way. Here we go. So this is from, give me a second here. I gotta dig deep in here. Here it is. It says, Joe, I want to touch base about the postgame show. Is there a good time to call today? That wouldn't you have assumed that that meant that, hey, we're going to discuss what we're going to be doing. You obviously are still doing it. And blah, blah, blah. Wouldn't you think that?
You say no, Marcus?
No, it's radio. That's the way things work. They always keep you at an arm's distance. When they really want you to be a part of something and really want to do something with you, they'll bring you close. They'll bring you into the office and have a meeting with you.
Respectfully, that's not what happened last year. Last year, I got the same call. Do you still want to do it? I said yes, and I just kept doing it. That's the term
touch base. I mean, that could go either way.
Well, that led me to believe he was like, hey, I just want to make sure everything's all the same. I really confirm. Yeah, that's what it sounded like to me. But obviously, Mark, it's hindsight, Marcus. So I hear what you're saying. But now that you know that I was incorrect in my assumption, so it's easier to read it that way. But either way, I hear what you're saying.
Yeah, you texted me back after the concept. What did I read that situation wrong?
So
you have gone from basically doing every home game, or no, every game other than a primetime game, doing a 3-hour post-game show to doing what now?
I now sit in a bar, and once an hour, they go, we're going to touch in. We know we're going to check in with Joe Robinson, who's at the horse you came in on, whatever bar I'm sitting at. How are things going there, Joe? Oh, we're having a great time down here. I'm here with Tom from Glen Burnie. Tom was at the game today. That's what I do.
Just for the home games.
So that was every single game. It was 2.5 to 3 hours of original content. You know, I mean, probably 13, 14 individual breaks that I was doing of sports and comedy content, which is now going to be, it's either, he doesn't know if it's going to be once an hour or twice an hour. So I could literally be only talking twice.
Yeah, for like 2 minutes combined, 3 minutes.
Yes, that's exactly right. That's my new role. So it is a firing. You can call it a demotion, but I got fired from a show which I had. It was my own show. I don't have it anymore.
Oh, yeah. You don't have the post game anymore. You have a role on the new post game show, but it's not your show.
Right. It's a piece. So I did read that correctly. I read it correctly in terms of that it felt like something. I wasn't going to be doing that based on the body language of the person that makes that decision.
Well, I don't know what's more complicated, following the storylines in Game of Thrones or the number of times you've been hired and fired by 98 Rock.
Yeah, it's been a lot. I was hired to do the night show with Theo, as we discussed earlier.
Right.
I was then demoted, and I was a salaried employee. I ended up being an hourly employee. I was only doing it Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and I decided to come in and do it on Friday for free.
Right.
Just because I wanted to make sure that the show wasn't affected by my demotion. So I was demoted.
We have a hire, then a demotion.
Right. So there's that. And then I end up being fired from that show. Then they brought me back to do BAL at night, just a little thing that they were doing. And I ended up being fired from that. I then was asked to do that a second time. And then I was fired again from that.
You're forgetting about the original post game.
I was asked to do the original. I did the 98 Rock post game just for 1 year, and I was fired from that, replaced by a professional football player. It's hard to argue with that, but somebody actually played football, not me, who played football in the cornfield with Tua. We used to play 2-on-2 football. Anyway, that's my experience playing football. And then I was given the post game show again. And now I've been demoted again, and eventually I won't be doing my stuff from the bar, and I will be fired. And I believe that's 7 firings, if I'm not mistaken.
At one station. That's impressive.
Yeah, it's hard. I'm glad I can still, you know, show my face in there, right? But yeah, I'm the next time I'm asked to no longer sit in the bar and say where that I'm there, that'll be my seventh firing. It might be my eighth. I don't know. You can count.
What do you think the next move will be with you and 98 Rock? Will it be a move up or a move down?
I definitely think it'll be a move down.
You're saying the down move will be this, your role in the post game show will be eliminated.
Yeah,
or give it to someone else.
Yeah, that has to be the next move. If I'm being realistic, there are no day parts that I can do. The only thing that I could do that would allow me to replace my current salary would be the morning show, and the morning show is locked and loaded. So that's not going to change. Unless one of them dies, then this is what I do. I fill in when somebody's out. Now, you got to remember that one day I'm not going to fill in anymore. That's going to happen. That'll be another firing.
You'll lose that gig, is what you're
saying. One day, yeah, I'm not going to fill in for the rest of my life. So one day I'm going to stop filling in, and that will be another firing.
Yeah. So you think it's more likely the next two moves in your 98 Rock career are going to be downward moves?
Yeah, I do. I mean, what's the alternative? I mean, the alternative is, again, I've expressed interest there to do nights with this show we do here. I've said, hey, I'd like to do nights there, and they know that. But right now they have a show. It's a national show, which we've discussed. You can hear my thoughts on that on the bonus show. I won't discuss that here. That's something that you have to pay for. But they that has the bassist from not Motley Crue, Nikki Sixx, also wrote all the Motley Crue songs. And then Joe Robinson. You're going to take the Motley Crue guy. That's the way. That's what they're going to do.
Yes.
I mean, I have good stories, but I have a feeling Nikki Sixx has better stories.
Your good stories are about you and Tim Moran and Scott Apple.
Yeah.
His are about Motley Crue, banging models, threesomes.
Yes, throwing TVs out windows. Yeah, right. Into a fight with other bands. Yeah,
exactly. His stories are much better. Robbie, your thoughts on Joe's latest demotion?
It doesn't surprise me at all based on the history.
Thought you were going to say based on the quality of his work.
I would say Joe should point out that he comes a lot cheaper than Nikki Sixx, I'm sure.
Oh, I can't really discuss that in full detail, but I actually don't. I don't come as cheap as Nikki
Sixx. Oh, really?
Sixx.
Okay.
What's more likely to happen? That a positive 98 Rock hire happens for you, Joe, or for Mickey Coachella?
So Mickey Coachella, and I'm not, that's his story to tell. As a matter of fact, he was just hired on another station here. I think it's Q1370 is the AM number. I don't know what the FM number is, but I know the FM number can only be heard in a very small area.
Yeah. Q1370, Baltimore's greatest hits.
I have a better chance of getting the morning show by myself than Mickey has of getting back on that station.
All right, we'll leave it at that. Robin Joe Show, we'll be right back. We'll talk about some tales from the comedy road. Robin Joe Show.
This is Irresponsible Radio with Theo and Joe.
98 Rock.
Hello, my name is Rob Robinson, but you all know me as Gramps. If it weren't for me, there would be no Robin Joe Show. If it weren't for my DNA, you'd be listening to the Rob and Ramin Show. Or worse, if I decided to stop at one offspring, you'd probably be listening to the Dan Ninen Show. So I'm speaking to you as someone who has provided you with top-notch entertainment for over half a decade. Become a Rob and Joe Show patron on Patreon. Go to patreon.com/Rob and Joe Show. Do it now so you don't miss out on the premium content and some other great stuff. I did it. So should you. Now back to the Rob and Joe Show.
Thank you. We do the murder mystery at the beautiful Bright Box Theater in Winchester, Virginia. We'll be back there July 1st doing Back to the 80s. And they also do stand-up comedy there every last weekend of the month, one Friday, two shows Saturday. And I got the good fortune to headline this past weekend. I would say two pretty much sold-out shows, and then a late show Saturday was, 40, 50 people. But they were fun shows. And a couple interesting things. There was a guy in the late show Saturday, which is more of a just fuck around with the audience show. And it had come up earlier in the feature set that he had lost 225 pounds. And then his target was another 100. So I go up there.
Big fat guy?
Yeah. I mean, you could tell that he'd lost some weight and there was some saggage. But he definitely had more weight to lose. But I go up there. I ask, so what was the secret, right? You know, how'd you lose it? And he goes, gastric bypass surgery. I goes, oh, so you cheated. So immediately the crowd is now against me, basically.
Yeah, they don't like you. Meanwhile, yeah. By the way, that is, diet and exercise is a lot different than me making your stomach the size of a Ziploc bag. I mean, there is a difference. We're not allowed to act like, we act like that's the same.
Right. So, but you know, you don't want to start off that way. And I, you know, I got another 43 minutes, you know, to go on my set here.
Boo.
Yeah. And his name was Mac. And I was like, so that no one ever called you Big Mac? And nothing. I mean, nothing. No one called you Big Mac. You know what called you Big Mac? That was not your nickname. And I mean, eventually I got it back. But I had a woman in the crowd in the back. She goes, hey, roast me. And I guess she thought, you know, because I was talking to people that I was roasting them. And I'm like, all right. I mean, so it was weird. She runs forward. She sits up front. I'll come up here. She's got a John Lennon T-shirt on. And I go, okay, you're like a hippie or something. You know, you're. She goes, no, actually, I'm an artist, but I voted for Trump. And I was like, that's a weird combination. So, you know, I just sort of messed with her. And she just dated. She broke up with some guy, and I called him and fucked around with him. But it was just, she seemed to, like, love it. The more, the ruder and the nastier I was to her, she really loved it. Then afterwards, she's like, do you want to get a drink? And I'm like, no, it's good. It's cool. But that's, has ever happened to you where someone asked
yeah,
you?
Yeah, no, that's happened before. And I, you know, I've talked about this. I like to shit on people. I do. I like right. it.
Yes.
And comedy affords you the opportunity to do that. And a lot of times, they love it. Matter of fact, I think I told you that the last time I worked the Baltimore Comedy Factory with Justin, it was a 98 rock show, and sitting up front was a guy who I would never approach in real life. When I real life, meaning not when I'm on stage. And his girlfriend literally looked like she had just been built. Somebody had just plugged different Miss Potato Head pieces on her, but hot Miss Potato Head. They yeah. just made her right. So, of course, never in any walk of life would I be just telling this guy, you know, what a piece of shit I think he is. But I did then, and he loved it. But if I would, if you were to go up to that guy and say that just in the bar, he would destroy you.
Yeah.
Oh, but people do like it. They do like, I mean, that's the, I guess, the Don Rickles syndrome, where celebrities would want to go and get destroyed by Don Rickles. It was like a badge of honor. I'm sure they don't feel that way about Joe Robinson the same way as they do about Don Rickles.
Or Rob Mayer. Also, the first show Friday, because, you know, I lived in Winchester and I grew or went to high school, graduated nearby in Clark County, Berryville. And my very first girlfriend was there in the audience.
How'd she look?
She looked, no, I'd seen her on Facebook. She, you know what? She looks pretty much the same. So
I don't think, I'm not saying you're not telling the truth, but I am saying you wouldn't tell the truth. We no, don't know the real answer.
I believe she looks, she's the same level of attractiveness now at her age that she was then, I think. I think
what's
she's,
her name, Rob?
Her, I'm not going to tell you her name. No, now, then you'll do something. No.
Was this 20 years ago?
Yeah, this is the girl I lost my virginity to. She was.
So you're saying at the age
17
of
17, longer than 20.
So now she's 40, and you're saying she looks about the same. You're lying. You're lying right now.
I think she looks pretty much the same. Yeah.
Robin Tawanda getting one wrong is more legitimately is more believable than the story you're telling right now.
Okay. Well, I mean, I guess because I've seen her, you know, on Facebook that, you know, it's not like I went 25 years between seeing her and that. And so now the, you know, the difference would look more alarming, but no, she looked good. So, and I had a good set. That was probably my best set. So that's a good thing. Right. Cause she's, you know, not used to me performing well. So that was good that happened.
Yeah. Well, I will say that no matter what she looks like, I guarantee you did take a lot of pride in yourself. By the way, was it an ugly breakup?
No. I honestly don't even remember, you know, but I you know, we talked about it a little bit, and she goes, I was crazy, bitch. And I was like, I don't even remember, to be honest. I think it just sort of happened. I don't remember the details.
Who broke up with who?
She probably broke up with me, but I don't remember. I honestly
is
don't.
Is she white? Or because she might look good because it doesn't crack. What's that?
No, she's white. She was there with her husband.
Oh, she was there with her husband.
She bought me a drink. She was there with some other people that, you know, she knew, and someone else that went to our high school that I sort of knew. So
white cracks.
Were you better looking than the new husband? I mean, clearly he's out earning you, but what about?
I mean, he's a larger man, so I would say I'm probably a little, you know, although I'm putting on some weight myself, I need to get that in check. Thanks for.
But you're not in need of gastric bypass.
No. He's got much bigger gut than I do. But the man laughed at my jokes and bought me a drink, so that's all that I really care about.
Rob, can you just text her? Text us her name so we could look her up on Facebook.
Well, what? How are you gonna? Okay, why though? I mean, what's the point?
Because I want to see if she looks good or not.
Okay, I will. Yeah, I'm not gonna have you shit on her.
Yeah, there's no upside to that, Rob. You should not do that. Yeah, there's no upside.
Is she listening, you think?
No, but it was great seeing her, and it was super, it was cool. and there's no reason to go there. And I thought she looked good.
How did Irwin look, the MC? Irwin is the guy who books us for that room, and I'll tell a quick Irwin story. I don't know if he's gotten any better. And I like Irwin, and Irwin has booked me to do comedy. He's booked our show, but one time he was at the Baltimore Comedy Factory, and he came up to me, and he said, "Hey, Joe, will you watch my set?" And I said, "Listen, Irwin, you know me. I'll watch it, but I'm going to give you my honest opinion. I'm going to tell you what I really think." He goes, "That's what I want." I go, "You have to be sure about that, because I'm going to tell you exactly what I think." Of course, he did a set, and he asked me what I thought, and I told him he needed to quit comedy. It's not for him. He shouldn't be performing. Nothing he said was funny or interesting. He wasn't particularly likable. Everything that you can't do or shouldn't do in stand-up, he was doing. The audience felt uncomfortable. There wasn't a right place to laugh. The jokes were constructed poorly. He went up awkwardly. The middle was awkward. He left awkwardly. And, you know, I let him know, hey, it doesn't mean you're not a good guy. And it is weird when you tell comics they're not funny. They literally think you're calling them the worst thing, but it's not. I like Irwin. I think he's a really good guy. Matter of fact, I met his kid. His kid's great too. I really like him. He just is not, he's not built for stand-up. Now, this was 10 years ago. Okay. So after I told him to quit, 10 years later, he's still doing, he didn't really care what I had to say. Right. I mean, that's the other thing about people asking you to watch their set. They really just want to be complimented. They don't really want anything constructive. Maybe there's a tag or something you can give them in a joke. They'd be interested in that. But they really don't want you telling them that they shouldn't be doing comedy. They don't want that. And so when I told him that, he completely disregarded it. And now he is 10 years later. It might even be more than that. I believe it was before 2007. So we're at least 10 years later. He's still doing stand-up. And I guess I'm asking, how'd he do? Is he good? Did I give him the correct advice?
Before we get to that, you know who he made a point to tell me that he really thinks is funny and wishes he could see do more comedy?
Who's that?
Joe Robinson.
Really?
Yes.
Well, I am very funny.
He's a big Joe Robinson fan.
Well, as I've said, I don't dislike Irwin. I like him. And that's one of the things. If Irwin hears this break, I guarantee he's going to be mad, which is ridiculous. You shouldn't be mad. I like you. But you are not good at comedy. You're not good at stand-up comedy.
Well, the problem with what Irwin was doing this past weekend is he is the house MC, essentially. He books the comedy, and he just books a two-man show, and then he MCs. Now, since he's there every week or every month, it's every month, you know, they've heard all his jokes. So he basically walks up there and, you know, asks who has birthdays, does some crowd work, basically does 6-7 minutes, brings up the feature, does 30-35. Then he does like 5 minutes while he's giving announcements and then trying out new bits while they go to the bathroom. And then he brings me up. So the problem with that is that, you know, that's not really his wheelhouse is doing crowd work. He's not a natural. He doesn't have the stage presence and the natural, you know, charm to do that stuff, right? So the first night, he goes up. He's telling people who's coming up on the calendar. Now, granted, I've never heard of these comics. They're not famous. But there's no way that these people have heard of them either. Because if you haven't heard of them in
their comics, I guarantee you the audience hasn't heard of them.
And I'm not saying they're not funny. I'm just saying, there's no point in giving the names if the
name. You could say any name. We have comedy here every third Saturday of the month, whatever. Yes.
But he must have given like 8 different dates of things happening. You know,
we're all the way out into 2018.
Yeah. And I'm like, what is this? And then 3 times he forgets the name. He goes, "Oh, this guy is our 4-year anniversary. It's the best guy we ever had," and doesn't remember his name. Fuck. Then he, after botching all that, he decides to do new jokes. But now you haven't gained any confidence in them that they want to hear more. And then he does my intro. He forgets Kevin Hart's name. And
that black guy, you know, right, him. He does, whatever. Rob Mayer, everyone.
So I know he's trying to just drag on so they can go to the bathroom. But part of the reason they're going to the bathroom is because he's, you know, all you have to do is come and say, hey, everybody, you know, we've got comedy every last weekend of the month here, Friday and Saturday. Our 4 anniversaries coming up here in August. Go to brightbox.com, whatever. And now for your headliner, bloom, blah, bloom, bloom. You know, and then we go. Because
you can also pull out a piece of paper and go, let me tell you what this guy's done. You can just read. He doesn't need to memorize the 8 things that you do. He can just read it.
Because the feature was ending really well each show. I mean, he's good. He's a likable comic. They enjoyed him. His closer was always doing well. And, you know, there was some momentum. And then, you know, and then we're basically starting over again when we get to me. But, you know, it's a really good room. And I think, you know, maybe I'll tell him or tell the Bright Box, but you know, they should have 3 people on the show that are really doing jokes, you know, a normal MC feature headliner, because you know, everything else about that room is super professional. The staff,
setup. Yeah. It's a great room. We're going to be there in like 3 weeks, right?
Yeah. July 1st, a month. So, we'll definitely be back there. 2 shows, 7 and 9:30. Back to the 80s. I'm going to be at the Ramset in Annapolis this Wednesday night with Mike Stork.
I saw that. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't know you were on that show. It doesn't even list you. Are you emceeing it?
Yeah, it's my show. I'm listed in the flyer. But yeah, I emcee that show. And I need to get the numbers up because this is the 3rd time we've done comedy there. And the first 2, we had a huge advantage. One, the first night it was Thanksgiving Eve, so that's obvious. And then back in February, we had Justin Schlegel, so we had the 98 Rock tie-in. So now I'm doing it without any, you know, people with a draw like me, and then a non-holiday kind of a Wednesday. So I'm going to be going on 98 Rock with Kirk and Marianne on Tuesday. You probably won't hear this in time, but if this does come out Tuesday, check it out. If it comes out Wednesday and you're in the area, come out to Annapolis, the Ramshead.
So you'll be on Kirk and Marianne tomorrow, and I'll be on the morning show?
Yeah, we're taking over. Right. Yeah.
I'll give you a plug. I'll give you a plug. I think our next show, the plug, is the DC Improv, the murder mystery. And we mentioned going to Kuwait, which we're going to do in July. The dates are still being nailed down, but that's going to happen. But I was in Walgreens getting my passport picture yesterday. Mm-hmm. And because my passport expired in January. Yeah, in January, I had to get a new passport. So I was getting my picture taken, and the lady behind the counter says, where are you going? And I said, I'm going to Kuwait. She goes, oh, it's beautiful there. I said, this is a lady, she's a cashier at Walgreens, okay?
Right.
So I go, oh, were you in the military? She's like, no. I go, you've been to Kuwait? She's like, yeah. I go, what? She goes, I vacation. This lady, it's more likely that Robbie is legitimately winning the Bachelor Fantasy League. That the cashier at Walmart is vacation, or Walgreens, sorry, Walmart, at Walgreens is vacationing in Kuwait. But she in the Odenton Walgreens, if you go in there, that there's a woman at the cash register that she vacationed in Kuwait. I didn't ask her any details because I didn't feel like hearing her make more shit up. But
you should ask her about the spiders.
Yeah, you know what? How do you defend against those?
She,
by the way,
know.
Eric Woodworth, we talked about the camel spiders last week and that they will chew. What was the word? They'll chew on you.
Yeah.
They don't necessarily bite you, but yeah, they'll chew on you. And Eric Woodworth, don't. Robbie, were you on the text? If you were, yes. I'm going to let Mark. Oh, you were. Okay, Marcus.
I was on the text.
How much did Eric Woodworth say you'd have to pay him for a camel spider, for him to allow a camel spider to chew on him? How much?
Now, see, I don't know Eric very well, but there's a certain part of me that would say he might go low for the funny, but let's go $500,000.
$200. And what I said was I have $200. That's a bad thing. I wouldn't say that. $200? I mean, there's 4 of us going. Other than Eric, we'll just all chip in $50 and have a camel spider chew on him for about an hour.
Yeah, but I don't want him to get hurt and get diseased, and then he can't show.
I won't pay the money because I would have feel obligated to watch it. I don't even want to see that.
That does sound.
Yeah, that's terrifying. You can't take his word. Can't take his word for it. He probably would try to get out of it if he knew no one was watching. Yeah, but you know what? We all don't have to watch because Tommy will watch. Tommy Zimbaza will watch it.
Oh, well,
so will Justin. There are two people there that will watch it. So
they'll watch it and video it, and then they'll show it to us without us knowing that we're going to see it. So,
yeah. Hey, can I tell a quick story? I don't know if I'm allowed to tell it, but since it's at the end of the show, I will. I got a call from the principal at my son's school on Wednesday. He was caught vaping in the bathroom. Now, when Robbie and I went to to high school, there was a smoking area. You could literally just bring your cigarettes to school, but I guess times have changed and laws have changed. Now, the punishment for vaping in school is you just go back to class, except you have to attend a tobacco awareness class. It takes place over 2 days. And if you don't do that, you don't graduate. So he's a junior. He's got to take it.
Yeah.
But the catch is, guess who else has to attend the class?
You do.
So I told him my ex-wife that I would flip her for it, but either her or myself will be in tobacco awareness class for 2 days this summer.
Do they check ID?
Why, were you thinking about doing it for me?
I'm thinking you could hire someone. I mean, how would you feel about Eric Woodworth going in as your father, as James' father?
I would love it.
How do they get away with that?
What do you mean?
How did they get away with enforcing that a parent has to go?
What am I
going to
do,
Marcus? Fucking class.
What am I going to do? Am I going to make a stink?
Yeah, why not?
You want to know why this
you'll
exists?
Hold on. You will throw down with some lady in the grocery store who has slighted you because she's got 11 items in the 10-item lane.
That's Robbie. You're mistaking me with somebody else.
I don't think so. But, you know, this is one of those things. It'd be like, fuck you. You're going to hold my kid hostage from a diploma because I have to attend? Fuck that.
Hold on a minute. Are you upset that he has to attend? Or are you upset that I have to attend?
No, I'm upset that the school is making the parent attend.
Well, it's just fundamentally wrong. It's just fundamentally wrong because there's no tobacco in vaping.
Well, there's nicotine. You're right. You're absolutely right about that. And maybe I can raise my hand and I can say, hey, what's the tobacco content in vaping in a vape? And if they say zero, I'll just get up and leave.
How much would you pay to get out of it?
A lot. I mean, I'd at least pay the $200 that Eric Woodward would pay to have the spider chew on it.
All right, so of all the people that we know that you would least like to be representing you, you have Justin.
Chris Restivo, one. Scott Apple? You know, yeah, Scott Apple would be, those two would be way up there for two different reasons. First of all, Restivo, because he would act like, you know, he would just be himself. But the big thing about Scott is that he would start questioning all the things that are being said. He would start challenging the instructor. Meanwhile, all you want to do is sit in there.
He'd be there longer if Scott was there. He would.
Of course, yes. He's like, well, that doesn't really sound accurate because as I see here from this study, yeah. By the way, is there anything I'm going to learn in that class that I don't already know?
No. What about Katie's dad?
I would mind him taking the class. From here, the thing is,
he would try to make trouble for you. You know that.
Yeah, but you know what? I'm probably likely to make trouble. I mean, what am I supposed to do? Just sit there and not say anything? I'm probably going to be in trouble. I mean, am I not going to make smart remarks when they start talking about the fact that it causes lung cancer? I'm like, well, yeah, no shit. I mean, we've been reading about it. For a matter of fact, Robbie, when he was a little kid, there used to be a customer service. What do you call it, Robbie?
PSA.
That's it, a PS, public service announcement, called Johnny Smoke. And it was basically the scare tactic so kids wouldn't smoke, and Robbie was terrified of it. You probably could see it on YouTube, Robbie. You think Johnny Smoke? Do you remember it vividly?
I've looked it up.
Is it as scary as you remember?
No.
Good. As an adult, you're no longer scared
of smoke.
It had to be in the early 70s, right, Robbie? Because I don't remember it. I only remember the story.
No. When is the class?
We don't know yet. A letter's coming to let me know, but I will let you guys know, and I will.
Can I come with you? Can you invite other people? With me.
Yes, I'm gonna say. Listen, I have to attend this class, but my friend has interest in this, and also he has to wear a patch right now, so I'm hoping that this will help him out.
Can I show up with one of those fake things in my throat that I have to speak to that
cancer kazoo? Yeah.
Well, that's the Rob and Joe show. We will be back next week with a brand new episode. Check out the bonus show. It is up now on Patreon. Every month it's growing. We're getting new patrons, so we greatly appreciate it. Shout out to our buddy Harry. He came out to my show in Fairfax, Virginia, Sunday night, packed house at the Blue Iguana. Good to see you. JL Covan was there the week before. 20 people. I had about 70. So suck it, JL. I take all the credit and not the fact that it was Memorial Day weekend, but whatever.
Johnny Smoke, I'm looking at it right here, is from the 60s. So, Robbie, you must have been, you were born in 66, correct?
Yep.
So he was probably like, you know, maybe 4 years old when this came out. I don't remember it, so I was too young, but I see it. Let me see if I can play it here. I don't know. Can you guys hear it?
No. Good way to end the show. Joe doing an audio technical thing.
Yeah. The odds of me getting this done is unlikely. It's playing in my ear.
All right. Go Tawanda, the Bachelorette. We're all rooting for you. Later.
Later.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.